Thank you, Prem. And dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantanilayam, the most happening place on the planet, as I always say. And since morning, today, April 24th, 2014, it has been a day of deep prayer and deep introspection. It has been a day of deep gratitude and sweet remembrances. A day when we count the blessings that we have received and value each blessing that has come onto our lap. Each darshan, each opportunity of sparshan, each chance of divine interaction, each word that we have heard of the avatar, each smile that we cherish, each touch that we relish, each gesture that we treasure, each instruction which has become an eternal source of inspiration. It is a moment to value each of these blessings and know and realize how invaluable they are, how priceless they are, and how we must not only preserve them in the deepest recesses of our hearts, but also how to practically apply them in our lives, in our day-to-day routine, mundane world, in the execution of our roles and responsibilities and duties. And this is significant because every moment the avatar spent with us during his earthly sojourn, it was an investment. No moment with the avatar was casual. No second spent of Swami was inconsequential. Today, when we revisit those days and when we ruminate on them, they grant us new meaning to our lives. In fact, it is these moments alone which make our lives meaningful, which give a purpose to our lives, and a purpose that is most fulfilling, purpose that is deeply satisfying, and a purpose that is completely soul-filling. Today in the morning, when Mr. V. Srinivasan said that Swami gave himself away for us to save us, to make our lives happier, I could not but recall that last Sunday darshan of Swami, March 20th, 2011. After this day, Swami came out for darshan only for two more evenings, March 23rd and March 25th. But March 20th, 2011 was when Swami gave his last Sunday darshan. And I remember that day vividly because that day literally shook all of us. Why? Why did it shake all of us? What happened that day? Why was it such a landmark day? What message Swami wanted to imprint in everyone's heart and mind that day? Why is it that we must ruminate what happened that evening? What exactly did happen that momentous Sunday? Well, this is what we will ruminate on tonight, on the sacred Aradhana Mahotsavam day, as you listen from the studios of Radio Sai, our day-long programs on Thursday Live.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. So welcome to Outside Inside Deep Inside. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and the time in the studios now is 8:40. And in Outside Inside Deep Inside today, we have the discussion on the topic, how do I connect with my Swami? How do I listen to my Swami? How do I feel my Swami? And for us to get there, as I was telling you, let us discuss that last Sunday darshan. Because that will set the stage for us to ruminate on how do I connect with my Swami. So what happened on March 20th, 2011? It was a day of paradoxes, a day of deep rejoicing, and at the same time, a day of tearing anguish. The last Sunday, when the sun, that is Sai, shone with an unexpected brilliant glow, pleasantly befuddling everyone, Swami did what the sun always does best, giving itself up little by little, silently and systematically, only to spread brightness and warmth all around. And on this day, everyone felt that this sun, this avataric sun, this Sai sun, this sun that is Sai, was not his usual self. Today he was hyperactive. I remember that evening, it was already 7 PM, bhajans were going on, everyone was expecting Bhagwan, and suddenly there was movement in front of the Yajur Mandir. And so a wave of inexplicable happiness started sweeping the entire Sai Kulwant Hall. On that day, even though it was already dark and bhajans had been going on for more than an hour, Swami chose to go around the devotees very slowly. He was accepting almost everyone's prayers and letters. Every few meters his car stopped. The window pane came down and he spoke to someone. He blessed another. He dropped a vibhuti packet to the third. He caressed a little baby, nodded at someone's salutation, and so on. Swami went through the complete darshan round gents and ladies side. And generally after he completes the gents side, he would come onto the stage. That is what everyone expected him to do, because they were waiting for him to alight the stage so that all can feast on his beautiful form. And as Swami completed the Jain side, the wheels of his car, which were about to turn left to come to the Mandir portico, suddenly turned right. And moved towards the Yajur Mandir, Lady's side, and then Bhagwan's residence. And everyone thought probably Swami is very tired today. Probably he wants to retire just after darshan. Probably he does not want to come onto the stage today. So the car moved to the lady's side. And as he moved closer to the residence, instead of turning left, again his car turned right. Swami did not return to the Yajur Mandir, but he turned right and another round of darshan started. A second round of going amidst the devotees. Imagine the thrill that went down the spine of every soul present on that sacred Sunday. Whoever missed a missed giving a letter or seeing him in his eye or treasuring a close glimpse during the first round, now virtually leapt in ecstasy. And very patiently again, Swami continued this blessing. And now, after these bonus blessings of the second round of darshan for another 10 minutes, Swami eventually did come onto the dais. And now, this hyperactiveness of the avatar took on another hue. Swami was on the stage and he immediately beckoned the birthday boy, the boy sitting with trays for birthday blessings. And as the boy came forward, Swami graced him profusely. Even as one boy returned to his seat, another boy with the tray looked at Bhagwan prayerfully. And the Lord granted path namaskar to the second boy too and showered akshatas, this sacred, sanctified yellow rice grains he put on the second boy too. And now, encouraged by what was going on, encouraged by these tidings, you know, the third boy got up. And to his utter joy, the scene repeated. Swami blessed the third boy just like he had blessed the first and second boy. And the fourth boy now got more enthused and he thought, wow, Swami is blessing. So he got up and Swami called him too, and this continued. Fifth boy, sixth boy, seventh boy. It went on and on. Blessings. It is a bonanza of blessings. And everybody seems to be saying to themselves, wow, Swami is in a great mood today. As the tenth boy received the birthday blessings, some students had a flash. They returned to the hostel, hurriedly prepared their birthday trays, and they began to dash to the mandir because they thought, how does it matter when is our birthday? How does it matter which calendar date we were born? The day Swami blesses us, that is our real birthday. So they thought, today Swami is in a great mood. Let us go to the hostel, prepare the trays, and let us come back. Let us not miss this opportunity of getting blessed by Bhagwan. And so, even as Bhagwan was blessing, they rushed to the hostel, prepared the trays, came back, and they saw to their utter surprise and joy, Swami was still blessing the boys. It was all the effort was worth every bit. As they stepped in, there was unspeakable thrill because Swami was still continuing taking letters, dropping sacred yellow grains and conferring padmaskarams to everyone. For them, it was a mission fulfillment. So they joined the queue. And meanwhile, there were this group of little ones from the primary school, the tiny tots. And they came forward and they cutely fell at Bhagwan's feet, and Swami most lovingly caressed them, and he sweetly accepted whatever those pure ones from the primary school had to offer. And they returned to their seats. And I thought, okay, now with this, the birthday blessings will conclude, because Swami had already blessed more than a dozen, nearly two dozen boys, and now primary school boys have got the blessing. But that was not to be. I thought it was the conclusion of the blessings. That was not to be. The moment Swami saw another boy with a tray and a pair of pleading eyes, he gently, lovingly nodded, and the saga continued. The blessings unceasingly went on and on. 25 boys, 26th boy, 27th boy, 30 boys had got their birthday blessings that day. And everyone was thinking, is it ever going to stop? 33, 34, 36, 37, 39. Oh my God, what is this? Is this never going to end? It is already 8:30 in the night. 40th boy got the blessing. And then Swami saw there are no one left. Every boy who had come with a tray had got the blessing. Then Swami said, okay. What an unprecedented day of relentless grace. How many priceless moments created in that one single evening for so many fortunate souls. It was indeed a day of great rejoicing. But at the same time, it was a day of tearing anguish. Very much. Because you could see, it was hard to watch this. You could see the Lord was in pain, obviously in pain. You could sense that Swami had taken the trouble of coming out for darshan that day in spite of his body being in a precarious condition. This is March 20th, 2011. Let me remind you. Every time Swami raised his hand to bless the birthday boy, it was an ordeal. There wasn't enough energy in his physical frame to even raise his palm a few inches. Yet he did it. He did it hiding the strain behind his smile. He did it. He did it not once or twice, but again and again. And he did it scores of times. Every time. Making it. Taking that Herculean effort to lift that pale hand and shower the blessings. The people who were watching Swami from very close quarters, I remember sitting there under Bhagwan's nose, and the only thought that was coming was, Swami, please, Swami, you have blessed so many. It is okay, Swami, you can stop now. Swami, please, just relax, Swami, and enjoy the bhajans. You have blessed enough number of boys, Swami. But Swami, the ever incessant sun, he was unceasing, he was relentless. And in the process, he was destroying his body bit by bit. To me, it seemed Swami was saying, come what may, I will not listen to my body. I will just give and give. Till the last ounce of my being, I will just give and give. He seemed to have come with that determination that day. It was so apparent. It was simply heartbreaking to see Bhagwan, how he was just tearing himself apart, stretching himself to the limits, just so that his devotees would be delighted, just so that his students could have moments that would become eternal sources of inspiration and subsequent transformation. As I mentioned, this was the last Sunday of the physical form of Sri Satya Sai. And I feel this one day encapsulated what this Sai had done all the 8.5 decades of his earthly sojourn. This one day was a summary of what Bhagwan is. Just wearing himself out systematically. Day after day, week after week, decade after decade. The only goal being to somehow teach and train, confirm and confer on as many individuals as possible the secret to lasting happiness. This is because When Swami saw others suffer, he suffered. When he found others grieving, he lamented. He was bothered. He was concerned. Why are they languishing in sorrow when infinite joy is just a millimeter away? When I've done so much and I'm doing so much, why are they still not happy? When others cried, he cried. And we know how this historic Sunday concluded. Bhajans ended. Aarti was offered. The cycle of thal reverberated with samasta loka, sukhino bhavantu. And even as this was going on, Swami now slowly raised his right hand. It was indeed an effort. You could see that he was exerting himself beyond his limits of endurance to somehow keep aloft his hand, even for those few seconds, because it was shaking. There was a mild tremor in the hand. But he somehow raised his hand. And then I saw his other hand, his left hand too raising, and I thought the left hand was coming to support the right hand, and maybe after that Swami would bless with both his hands. So the left palm with lot of struggle joined the right palm, and I thought, okay, this is good. At least the trembling in the right hand would now reduce. But the story, as we all know, did not end there. Because then came the most profound moment of the evening. Something absolutely unexpected, unprecedented, something no one had ever seen before. No one had ever faced anything like that before. No one had any clue how to react to a situation like that. Something that Swami had not done in his entire earthly sojourn of 8 decades. It left everyone shocked. Everyone stared at him wide-eyed, mouths open and minds numb. Only a sudden collective gasp could be heard. Just when everybody was expecting to see both his open palms raised and blessing in the double Abhayahasta posture, as Bhagwan always did at the end of the bhajan session, Swami stunned everyone. He shocked everyone by bringing his palms together and then forming the posture of namaskar, the traditional Indian way of greeting. Now, of course, now everyone has seen that picture. And when Swami brought his palms and formed the namaskar posture, and he did it on the Jain side, I thought probably it was an accident. Maybe Swami wanted to bless, but he was taking the support of the other hand, and then it just turned out that it became the namaskar posture. But Swami did not stop with that. He did it on the Jain side, then mustered whatever energy he had, and then slowly moved to the left, and again did the namaskar on the left side, on the lady's side. And then I thought, oh my God, this is not an accident. Swami is doing it intentionally. Why is Swami doing this? Why? How could Swami do this? What is this new thing? Now, why on earth Bhagwan has to do this? You're totally dazed and bewildered. And even before we realized anything, Swami's sofa started moving. Soon he moved on. He was inside his car, and he left as if nothing unusual had happened. In fact, to tell the truth, I too forgot about it after that evening. Or at least made serious attempts to just obliterate it, just remove it from my memory. Just like how you want to erase a bad dream. But only after a month or more, when the curtain fell on the physical form of the avatar, did the significance of this incident hit me like a thunderbolt. The divine teacher, the supreme almighty, could become this humble. Could become this humble. Namaste is generally done in India out of respect to greet others, especially elders and guests when they arrive or leave. And here was Bhagwan doing this to all of us. What is the message that Swami wanted permanently to get imprinted in our hearts and minds? In this world, there is truly no other. The other too is the same divine principle, just in a different vesture. So every other person has to be respected and loved. Maybe this is what Bhagwan was communicating to us, and this is what Bhagwan had done all his life, and he wanted us to know this, to realize this, to live this in our lives. And that is the reason why probably he addressed all of us always as embodiments of love, as embodiments of Atma. And now he wanted no one to miss this fundamental lesson, the lesson that the underlying divinity is the basis of humanity. Just like Lord Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, and Lord Krishna gladly wiped clean the feet of the guests who came for the Rajasuya Yajna organized by Yudhishthira after the Mahabharata war. Here was Lord Satya Sai humbly saluting us, saluting every little soul in the audience. The Master Supreme does not just guide and preach, he lives, he demonstrates, he exemplifies all those principles that he wants us to live. He exemplifies more eloquently in his life than in his words. And today, when I think of that day and the message contained on that day and how to internalize that day and how to implement the teaching of that day in the discharging of everyday daily responsibilities, when you think of that particular evening and translate the message into your daily actions, every day then becomes a novel experience. Every day becomes a celebration of that ultimate power. Every day is a day of rejoicing. Every day is a day of knowing, loving and feeling that presence. Feel my presence. This is what Swami told a devotee many years ago when he wanted to know how to earn his grace, how to remain connected to him, how to secure his benediction. Swami said, feel my presence. This is what Mr. M.S. Prakash Rao, a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan, and who is the coordinator for bhajans in the state of Andhra Pradesh, he told me just yesterday. And then I requested him to elaborate more on this, feel my presence, that Bhagwan said. And we ended up having a very elevating conversation on this. And dear listeners, I would want you to listen to this now. I'll play for you this conversation that I had with Mr. M.S. Prakash Rao, someone who has had innumerable opportunities with Bhagwan and is still so active in the Sai mission. I asked him, how do you now connect to Bhagwan? Let's listen to this.
Sai Ram, sir.
Sai Ram.
You are someone who came to Bhagwan way back in 1965, and after that, you have been guided by Bhagwan in your personal life, in your professional life, And then Bhagwan gave you innumerable opportunities to bask in his close proximity. You wrote number of plays and songs, presented them in front of Bhagwan, and whenever I see you, I can think of any number of scenes where Bhagwan was so happy watching the creativity that you expressed through the Balvika students. And every time Swami spoke to you, Swami guided you, and it happened almost till the very last moments of Bhagwan's physical sojourn. So my question to you now is, even after Bhagwan has departed from the physical realm, still I see you so active. Every now and then you are in Prashantinilayam and you are with plays, you are with the Padyatra groups, and you are performing in the same manner, the same enthusiasm. You continue to make all those beautiful creative offerings to Bhagwan. So what I want to know from you is, definitely you are in some way connected with Bhagwan, because it doesn't seem as if the inspiration has died down or that source to which you always connected has in any way diminished. So how is it, do you now connect with Swami?
One thing, sir. Once Swami said one devotee, the devotee questioned Bhagwan, Bhagwan, how I should receive your grace? How can I receive your grace? Then Bhagwan told, one sentence, feel my presence.
Feel my presence.
Feel my presence. I am always with you. That has been the inspiration for me. That particular sentence. So, whichever activity I take up, I always feel that Bhagwan is with me. Bhagwan is guiding me. Therefore, at no point of time I feel that Bhagwan is not there. What should I do? That kind of desperation I never felt. At no moment of time I felt that desperation. Because Bhagwan once told me, whatever you do, I'll be with you. Think about me, I'll be with you. So, whatever activity I am taking up now in the Sachasai Seva organization, I feel that Bhagwan is with me, again guiding me, and I have innumerable experiences, and I am feeling the presence of Bhagwan, because wherever I go, unseen help is coming to me from different sources, which I never expected. Therefore, I felt that it is the grace of Bhagwan only. Now, I have been organizing bhajan workshops to make people aware of the power of Namasmaran. We have been conducting a number of public bhajans. Previously, our bhajans are limited to only our mandirs or the houses of devotees. Now, we are organizing public bhajans in several places. Recently, in a town called Anakapalli, the 50th anniversary of the Sachasai Mandir has been celebrated. That is the first mandir built in Andhra Pradesh.
Anakapalli?
Yes.
That is so close to which major?
Visakhapatnam. Visakhapatnam. It's just 40 kilometers from Visakhapatnam. So the Golden Jubilee celebrations were celebrated. And the governor of Bihar, he presided over the function on that day. He inaugurated the Golden Jubilee celebrations. When the governor has arrived, the bhajan was going on. I was organizing the bhajan and the bhajan was going on. Our boys were singing melodiously with all their devotion and faith in Bhagwan. When the bhajan was over, the governor of Bihar called me and he told me, Mr. Rao, the bhajan is so excellent. Your boys are singing from the core of their heart. I never thought that such a Sai bhajans will be so melodious and charged with so much of devotion. I feel like attending the bhajans regularly.
Wow.
That is what the governor of Bihar has remarked. Another very important thing. We have recently conducted a bhajan in the premises of a factory, Bharat Heavy Plates and Vessels.
In Visakhapatnam?
Yes, in Visakhapatnam. All the 1600 employees, they have attended the bhajan. Not even one fellow has missed. and the general manager of the firm and all topmost management are sitting there. And we have decorated up to 1 kilometer from the main road to the factory with Swami's posters and with the Swami's sayings about Namasmaran and service like that. And while the bhajan was going on, we have screened Swami's video also, some darshan video. And after the bhajan was over, the general manager has remarked, "Sir, you have brought peace and harmony to the premises of the factory. Kindly organize such a bhajan every month in our factory premises."
Beautiful.
So, what should I say? Except it is the grace of Bhagavan. See, an unknown person comes and requests us for a bhajan, and after the bhajan he says to continue that activity. It is nothing but the grace of Bhagavan, the unseen hand of Bhagavan, I have been feeling every moment.
Amazing.
This is one aspect. And the other aspect is, how to take Swami's message particularly into the youth and as well as some retired people. Normally, retired people have no avocation except going through the newspapers and commenting on that. We see 90% of the retired people spend like that. So, we have organized a meeting for them and with Swami's sayings, how a retired man should lead his life.
Mm-hmm.
We have organized a PPT, a show for them. And all the people have come and they requested us, "Sir, we thought we have got nothing to do now after the retirement. But now we have realized our responsibility, what to do. See, we have gained a lot of knowledge while in our service. So we wanted to share the knowledge with all youth so that it can provide them employment opportunities. Number one. Number two, whatever the Indian culture and spirituality Swami has told, we are simply sitting, we will teach the children of the locality about that. And we will attend Namasmaran, which will give us peace of mind. And recently, I went to Nandyal. I addressed about 200 retired employees. After the presentation was over, after they have seen what Swami has said about life and how retired people should lead their life, then they said, "Sir, these 200 people, it is not enough. We are going to conduct a general body meeting of all our retired employees. 2,000 people will attend. So,
with company.
Yes, kindly organize your PPT show and Swami's sayings on that date so that 2,000 people will receive the benefit of leading a happy retired life."
Awesome.
And useful and purposeful retired life.
So you do a little and then you see how Bhagavan,
yes,
scales it up.
See,
to a
my estimation originally was alright, some 200 people, 100 people may attend, small groups. I thought I had to address only small groups. But with the response that I am finding now, when hundreds and hundreds of people are attending, what is that? It is except His grace. That is Bhagavan's grace. You do little and Bhagavan will magnify it with His grace.
And I remember on so many occasions after your dramas, Swami would call you and then Swami would bless you definitely with a namaskaram or, you know, with some sweet word. Swami would express how happy He is with the performance. So now do you miss that after the performance? Do you feel that, oh my God, now that is not there. I have worked so much. Earlier Bhagavan would give me all those chances. But now that opportunity is not there. Do you anytime feel like that?
Not completely, sir. Because recently, last year I have organized one play, Seva Sainyam Kadalindi. Actually, that is the story of a Seva work which we have taken up in the Anantagiri Ghats for the water project. We have
this
supplied,
is near Visakhapatnam.
Yes, yes. About 40 villages have received the drinking water facility because of the service activity of Bhagavan such as Seva organizations in Visakhapatnam. So, when we have organized the play, after the play was completed, we took the namaskar at the Mahasamadhi of Bhagavan. And to my surprise, all the youth who have participated and all the Balvikas children who have participated in the play, after the play, they have remarked that we felt Bhagavan's presence as if Bhagavan is seeing our play. He is watching our play. That is what we felt. I was surprised. I said, yes, Bhagavan is there. Bhagavan is watching our play. He is there with us. So the enthusiasm shown by the youth and the Balvikas children, even after the play was over, he simply has given a thrust to my work and my effort, and now I want to do more. Because I never felt the absence of Bhagavan. Oh, maybe physically we may be missing, yet all right. But otherwise, the children would not have felt like that. Because they have never seen Bhagavan, and for the first time they have been coming to Prashantinilayam, all the participants. And they felt the presence of Bhagavan. So that has given me the faith and belief that Bhagavan is watching them. Really, one or two boys who have taken training in computers in our Ujjwal Jeevan.
What is Ujjwal Jeevan?
Ujjwal Jeevan is a project where unemployed youth are given free computer education.
In
Visakhapatnam.
Oh, yes. Similar things going on in Hyderabad. Okay?
Yes, yes, yes. Yes. And I was telling you how Bhagavan's divine hands come into play. Is after the training is over, almost all the children who are taking training here are employed. Particularly, a number of organizations are coming forward to take our children into their organization, because they say they are much more disciplined, they are much more devoted, and they are much more sincere in their work.
More productive.
Yeah, more productive work will be done. So, because of these things, we felt that Bhagavan is with us. He is guiding us. And today, even for the Aradhana Mahotsavam, a number of Ujjwal Jeevan children who have taken training there, they have come for service to Prashantinilayam.
Wow, beautiful. So you are talking about one student who was trained in Ujjwal Jeevan.
Yes, that boy, he felt really, he told me after the play, yes, I have seen Bhagavan. Bhagavan is watching our play, he told. It is a great experience for him. He shed tears. He could not move from the place after the play was over. So, I never felt that Bhagavan is not there. Yes. All right, when he was physically presented, we had his divine darshan and we used to feel very happy. But even now, I feel that happiness. Because with the activity going on, with the enthusiasm the children are showing, and particularly the transformation taking place in children, actually, the students who are coming to our such a Ujjwal Jeevan are not disciplined. They were a little bit indisciplined before joining. But this 3 months training here, apart from the computer training, they are given training in human values and how to behave in the society, how to be a disciplined worker. All these things they have been taught. And Swami's guidelines about youth, how they should behave in the society. So they have imbibed all those qualities, and now they are very, very disciplined children. Because of their own accord, they are coming for service here. Not only here, even at Visakhapatnam, any important work, any Narayana Seva, any other important work, even the water project work also, these boys are coming and doing the work. What do you say?
Wow.
Yes, unseen hand of Bhagavan is transforming them. With that kind of transformation, you can't get anywhere with any amount of training. Within 3 months, if their personality is transforming, they are transforming themselves into ideal children. It's only because of the grace of Bhagavan, that's all.
Someone said, if you leave everything in God's hands, you will see God's hand in everything.
Correct. Right, right. Nice, nice.
And nice. As you narrate, and I think what I gather from what you're saying is, now, like before, like earlier, whenever you take up any activity, you see Bhagavan's hand in whatever you do. And that is what gives you that sense of fulfillment. That is what gives you all the energy. And that always makes you feel that Swami is always there.
One more activity I'll tell you, sir. I have made out a PowerPoint presentation for youth, particularly for college students. sure success. And many of my friends who have gone through the PPT, they have remarked, all right, you are definitely showing some useful things to the youth. But when you quote Bhagavan and his teachings and the activities taken up by him, the love he has shown to the entire world, I don't think these youngsters will receive it properly.
Mm-hmm.
So you may not be successful in presenting this presentation in the youth. You may not be encouraged. You may not be able to present in many places or many education institutions.
Because they might have some reservations about Swami.
Maybe,
and his
maybe.
Wife.
But till today, I have presented this in 10 engineering colleges and some 2 universities and 3 management institutes and PG degree colleges and 1 banking coaching center where there are 10,000 students. Guru Raghavendra Banking Coaching Center at Nandyal. So for my presentation, on that day about 4,000 students have come. The first thing I said was Sai Ram, and all the 4,000 children said Sai Ram.
Awesome.
Then the director told, he has some apprehensions. He told, sir, the children may not like spiritual matters. I told, sir, you kindly keep quiet for 1.5 hours. After that you see. Then I have gone through this entire presentation in which one thing I have, one slide is there. Keep up your promise. Unless you keep up your promise, nobody will believe you. If you want to have standing in this society, and every should repose their
right.
faith in you, you must keep up your word.
Right.
The next slide, keep up your promise, I have shown Swami's photo. The next slide was Swami with Abdul Kalam. Abdul Kalam recently visited the Satya Sai Vidya Vihar at Vishakhapatnam.
Yes.
There he has remarked, Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba has kept up his promise. Whatever he has promised to the humanity, he has completed it within the shortest possible time, whether it is education institution or water projects or hospitals, whatever it may be. So, you have to learn keeping up your promise from Bhagavan. Learn from the divine, he told.
Dr. Abdul Kalam.
Yes, Dr. Abdul Kalam. I said, these words were spoken by none other than Bharat Ratna Abdul Kalam. All the 4,000 students shouted for 5 minutes. Yes. Say Jai Sai Ram. And they have clapped. Then, is it not unseen hand of Bhagavan? Where nobody expected the children to shout Jai Sai Ram. There they have done it. And they all positively received
yes.
everything. After the presentation was over, everybody told, sir, we want a copy of your presentation so that we can follow these things in our life.
Beautiful.
So now you will be surprised, from out of the 10-15 colleges which I have gone, about half a dozen colleges, they have promised that they will send their children for our seva activity. Particularly the DRW college at Gudur, the principal has promised that I will send our girl students for seva.
Very nice. It is such a welcome move, because if the youngsters experience the joy of selfless service, that will really change their lives.
See, one thing, sir. My only mission is that every section of the society, whether they are retired people, our employees, our housewives, our students, everybody should know the teachings of Bhagwan. I have written one play, Amma, that is this mother. We have presented it before Bhagwan.
Yes.
In 2007. Till today, 300 performances have been organized of this drama at several places in Andhra Pradesh. And till today, about 121 people have written me letters that after seeing Bhagavan's teachings on mother, we have brought back our parents from the oldest home to my house. Can you imagine this? That is the power of Bhagavan's teachings.
This is really phenomenal.
So that is the power of Bhagavan's teachings. Another very important thing, we have written a play on blood donation. and how people should love the society. Whatever Swami has told, we have incorporated in the drama. And that drama we have presented it before students of different colleges. You will be surprised, the entire engineering college students at Visakhapatnam, they stood in the queue for blood donation. And we have donated 1,000 units of blood to the King George Hospital at Visakhapatnam.
Fantastic.
So, after seeing all these results and the response from different sections of the society, I always felt that probably we are lacking. Bhagavan is there to guide us. We must do much more effort.
Yes.
Because
he is ever ready and ever eager to shower his
grace. Wherever you go, you are achieving success. In whatever capacity you are doing, whatever work you are doing.
Because we are going with a pure intention.
Yes, yes, because Swami's teachings have got that effect.
Yes.
See, that is why I never felt, for only a few days or a few months I felt, maybe, the absence of physical presence of Bhagavan. But one thing, if you go through Swami's life history, if you read the experiences of devotees, I think nobody will feel that Bhagavan is not there. The reading of Sai literature and the experience of devotees is extremely important for any Sai worker, sir. Because that will give you the inspiration.
Correct.
Because I have been reading the Ajit Popat's experience.
Mr. Ajit Popat from London.
From London. The Swami is told, you observe your heart. Whether your heart is working for you or for the others.
Yes.
When your heart is beating, whether it is beating for you or for others.
I always feel that if we can call this a heart only when it is beating for others, otherwise it is only an efficient lump of flesh.
Correct, correct. Therefore, a number of activities are taken up to spread Bhagavan's message of love and service.
And as you mentioned, only for a few months you felt perhaps that Swami's physical absence. But after that, once you got engaged in his work and you saw him in his work, after that life has become as glorious as it used to be when Bhagavan's physical form was
there. Definitely, definitely, definitely. Because wherever we are going, whatever work we are taking up, we are seeing the unseen hands of Bhagavan. And at many places we felt the presence of Bhagavan, and the results are really astonishing results, which we have never expected. So, when your results are like this, it is only His grace.
His grace, absolutely.
That's all. So, there is no need for us to get discouraged.
Absolutely.
Swami is with us, He is guiding us, because many activities, if you see, if you compare with the activities when Swami was there, all these activities have been doubled. Because in Srikakulam, there is one hospital, Rajiv Gandhi Institute of Medical Sciences. It is a 500-bed hospital. For patients, they provide the food, the hospital authorities. But for attendants, they don't provide food. Therefore, our Sacha Sai organization has taken up the Narayan Seva activity there for providing food to all the attendants, 500 attendants daily, both morning and evening, twice a day for 500 people.
Beautiful.
We have taken up the activity. All right. First of all, they felt a little bit difficulty in pulling up the funds to make this project a success. But after a few months, non-devotees who have not seen Bhagavan or heard about Bhagavan have donated lakhs and lakhs of rupees. Don't you say that is the unseen hand of Bhagavan? You have not approached them. Our people have not at all approached them. They on their own have come and they're donating funds to the organization, such as an organization, to provide food to 500 attendants.
It is all the power of pure will.
Yes. That is what I say. You start the activities with a pure heart, with sincerity. Always be sincere in your activity and see this unseen hand of Bhagavan.
If you are sincere,
wonderful,
you will feel the presence of Sai.
Yes. Otherwise, how this activity is going on for now, for any length of time it will go. That is the sort of financial status of that project.
Beautiful.
Bhagavan is there, sir.
Yes.
Nothing to worry. And
yes,
I have seen in small mandirs, the Jatiya Narayana Seva is there. Jati Narayana Seva, we are sending food to their doorstep of poor people who cannot cook food. We are sending in carriages food to their doorstep. Now you will be surprised, a small mandir in Srikakulam, they are sending 186 carriages every day.
In a rural place?
To the rural place. They are taken in auto.
Wow.
186. In Palasa, 150 carriages are being sent to 150 houses. How all these things are
Amazing.
Happening?
Amazing.
That is Bhagwan.
That is the power of pure love, and Bhagwan
yes.
is that pure love,
yes,
and
yes.
the pure love is there.
Definitely,
we have to only tap it.
Because I have now told you about a number of activities where unexpected success is encountered. So, I feel that feel my presence is the 100% correct. So, if you feel Bhagwan's presence and Bhagwan is holding your hand, he will hold your hand. Definitely you will go forward. I have no doubt in my mind. I don't have any doubt, sir.
Wonderful. Yeah,
whatever activity I am taking up with, I put the entire project at his lotus feet. Swami, I am taking up this activity. You kindly be with me and he will be with us.
Wow, beautiful. It's really absolutely inspiring listening to you, Mr. Prakash Rao. I think this is an experience of everyone, of every Sevadal. A lot of us who are in the Satya Seva organization, we go with the spirit of executing a pure intention, and then we see the unseen hand of God, how we used to experience before, and it's the same story, it continues. But it's always heartening when you hear such things. It only inspires you more, and it only brings in more and more people into this Sai umbrella, and that is the way forward for a better world.
One more thing, sir. Our youth are taking up water project in the Anantakiri Ghat sections. Till today, they have given water to about 40 to 45 villages. First of all, our people use it to pull up money from their salaries, all our youth. After seeing the project, one devotee has come forward and he has donated 65 lakhs of rupees to continue the water project. Who has given these 65 lakhs? Except
Amazing.
Bhagwan.
Amazing. And such stories go on and on.
This is how Bhagwan's hand is coming. Wherever you go, some help is coming and you are going forward with your activity. Many people now are interested to come to Prashantinilayam and have Bhagwan's darshan. So many non-devotees who have never seen Bhagwan, they are now repenting that we could not go to Prashantinilayam and to have the darshan of Bhagwan. At least let us go now and participate in the activity.
And that is what keeps Prashanti so vibrant.
Ah, yes.
All the time.
And one more thing also I'll tell you. So we wanted to take up this summer course for children. Normally some 10-15 centers we used to take up, 10 students or 20 students used to attend our summer camp about this Indian culture and spirituality. We wanted to teach them. Our Balvikas gurus are taking up. Then they are getting a little bit discouraged, sir, only 30 children are coming. Surprisingly, this year, when they are getting discouraged like this, one trust has come. They are organizing summer camps. They told, sir, we are organizing for 500 students. We don't have proper teachers to teach Indian culture and spirituality. We only dependent on the Satya Sai Balavikas gurus and Satya Sai organization to guide us. Kindly guide us. Kindly conduct the activity here. We will provide all the facility for you.
Amazing.
So 500 students are now attending this summer. So when we had only 20-30 students like that in different localities, now at one place you are getting 500 children. This is Bhagwan's grace.
This is the summer shower. Outside. Wonderful, sir.
So this is like this. Whatever work we will take up sincerely with all our faith and devotion towards Bhagwan, Bhagwan's unseen hand will be with us. And he will be with us and he will guide us and our activity will be extremely successful. There is no doubt about it.
Thank you, sir.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
So that is Mr. M.S. Prakash Rao from Andhra Pradesh. Someone who came to Bhagwan in 1965 and since then has been incessantly engaged in Bhagwan's work. And now it is the same zeal of doing Bhagwan's work in which he sees Bhagwan. He feels Bhagwan.
he experiences the power of the omniscient Sai. I spoke to many distinguished elders as well as devotees in the last 7-8 days and asked them this one question: how do you now connect to Bhagwan? How do you now connect to your Swami? And we have uploaded all these responses on our website, radiosai.org. So many people have written to us from all over the world, and it is so heartening to read what people have written. It is so moving to know how so many people are connecting to Swami through such solid and steady bonding, through such foolproof methods of securing and living His presence in their lives. Let me now play for you what Mr. V. Srinivasan, the All India President of Satyasaya Organization, had to say when I asked him, how do you now connect to Bhagwan? How do you now connect to your Swami?
Sairam sir, may I ask you, how do you connect to Swami now?
You know, the way we connect now is a bit different from the way we used to connect when Bhagwan was physically present with us. It has been now 3 years, and the way I connect with Him has been evolving as such. The way I am now stabilized is that whatever I do, I place a great deal of reliance on prayer. I pray to Bhagwan for guidance, not only what to speak, but also what we should be doing in the organization. Any project, whether it is small or big, it first commences with prayer to Him, even at the conceptual stage. To put it in a nutshell, for me now, there is no difference between Bhagwan and His work. I feel Bhagwan's work is Bhagwan. So by doing Bhagwan's work, we are worshipping Bhagwan, we are serving Bhagwan, and we are loving Bhagwan. So this is the message which is now percolating throughout the organization, that for us, Bhagwan's work is Bhagwan. And that is the way I relate to Bhagwan today.
But how do you get an idea, okay, this is what I have to do today, this is the project we have to take up for the organization? Where is all that direction coming from? How is it coming now?
It is coming from Bhagwan, more or less on an intuitive basis. Ideas come to me when I'm sitting in bhajan, when I'm sitting in darshan, sometimes even when I'm sleeping, suddenly some idea comes to me. So the only rational explanation which I can give is that it seems to be an intuitive feeling within me. It is an intuitive communication direct from Bhagwan. I don't want to appear bombastic by saying that, but honestly, that is really what is happening.
Suppose some devotee were to ask you now, earlier we had this opportunity to go to Bhagwan, but now I'm really finding it very difficult to connect with Swami. What advice would you give them? How can I connect with my Swami? If some devotee were to ask you, what is the advice that you would like to give to all members in the Satya Sai organization?
What I have said up to now applies to me. I cannot take upon myself as a spiritual guide for anybody else. I'm not competent to do that. So always I tell people who come to me with this kind of problems to pray to Bhagwan for guidance. And if they have to make a choice, to put the way we all used to do before, is to put some chits before Bhagwan. And then after prayer, whatever is the solution which comes forward, to follow it. But I don't feel I have the competence to tell somebody what to do. Because in the quality I now feel most important for all Sai office bearers, for Sai devotees is humility. Humility is the most important qualification that each one of us must have. We should never feel that we are being raised to any kind of eminent position. We are all the same, and each one of us has a direct relationship with Bhagwan.
So to summarize what I understood, one is prayer and the second is humility.
Exactly.
And as far as every devotee is concerned, each person has to think for herself or himself.
Yes.
That inner journey is something which every person has
yes.
to make.
And this is the heart-to-heart relationship that Bhagwan always had even when he was physically present with us. Because he always told all of us that my relationship with every devotee is heart-to-heart. There is no intermediary necessary for receiving Bhagwan's communications.
So we all have to search and go in.
Absolutely right.
Thank you very much, sir.
Sai Ram.
So that was Mr. V. Srinivasan. And he stressed on prayer. When I asked Mr. Ajit Popat of London, how do you connect with Bhagwan? He said, it is very easy and simple. In my mind, I recite Suprabhatam at 5 a.m. every day. And after doing 21 times Omkaram, I thank Swami for giving me one more golden chance to live. At 8 a.m., I sit in front of him in my residence in Sai Kutir, and I remember and I visualize the divine darshan, Swami coming out of his divine abode, moving among the crowd, caressing someone, blessing someone, giving vibhuti to someone else, smiling at a little one. And I imagine and visualize this scene until Bhagwan reaches the interview room and then goes into the inner chambers with a loving smile dancing on his lips. At 1 p.m., I recite the food prayer. And again, I connect myself with Swami and I thank him for feeding me. At 7 p.m., I once again sit with him in my altar and I tell him all about what I have done throughout the day. For me, my Swami is not a concept. He is living. He is very much alive. And then at 10 in the night, I offer my night prayers and I rest in his lap. Does it not sound very simple? Well, that is what it is, he says, Mr. Ajit Popat says, God is really very simple and connection with him is also very simple and direct. And he says, I have found this connection very effective. It is based on my own experience. No other sadhana is required. And my constant prayer, he says, is this. O Lord, purify my vision, sanctify my intentions and clarify my thoughts, verify my actions and solidify my sadhana. And above all, simplify my life. In this simplicity and humility, Mr. Ajit Popat feels divinity. When you listen to each of these devotees, how they now relate to Swami and how they feel His presence, it is absolutely an ennobling journey. I asked Mr. S.S. Naganand, the trustee of Sri Satya Sai Central Trust, how do you connect with Bhagwan?
How do I connect with my Swami now? Exactly the same way that I used to connect with my Swami before the Mahasamadhi. One must always know and remember that avatar has a physical aspect of it and a spiritual aspect of it. when Swami was here with us physically, few of us were blessed and privileged to have a great deal of interaction with Bhagwan at a physical level. For anything and everything, we could go and had opportunities to place before Bhagwan our thoughts and take guidance from him in the matters of personal nature, family issues, and otherwise relating to the trust and its administration. But now that Bhagwan has chosen to become omnipresent and leave the physical form, we have to depend on the spiritual connection that we had with Swami. Even during Swami's physical presence here, on many occasions when we could not actually take instructions from Bhagwan physically, we were praying to him and silently sitting and requesting Bhagwan to answer our prayer and guide us. So many occasions when Bhagwan was with us physically, he still chose to communicate through the spiritual medium, listen to our prayers, and before we could actually open our mouth and utter those words, Swami had answers for us and guidance for us. Now, the same thing is happening today. We ask Swami for blessings, and I remember that when we were doing the Griha Pravesham for our Delhi house on Vijayadashmi Day in 2012 at Brahmi Muhurta, we started with a big picture of Swami kept in the altar, and there was a garland around it. Exactly at the time that we were about to perform the oblations in the fire, the garland just came down and clearly showed us what exactly was happening. That Swami was physically with us. He was answering our prayers, the prayer to bless the house. In the same way, I now find that in many, many issues which relate to the Swami's trust and administration, all that we need to do is sit quietly and look at Swami and pray to Swami, and he always answers. So I, personally speaking, do not have much of a problem in continuing the connection that Swami has blessed us with, and that spiritual connection, a connection which has nothing to do with the physical world, but Swami is there, hovering around all the time, listening, carefully looking, and answering every single question that we have. I mean, this kind of experiences we have all the time, and it is for us to tune in and take that and take the relationship forward and always be thinking how blessed we are that Swami has chosen to communicate with us, irrespective of whether he's here in his physical form or is in a spiritual cosmic form. Sai Ram.
So that is Mr. S.S. Naganand, trustee of the Central Trust, sharing how he now receives directions and benedictions from Bhagwan. As you mentioned, there is a physical aspect to Swami and there is this divine aspect to Swami, and now the connection is through this all-pervading, omniscient, divine, cosmic aspect of Bhagwan. I remember listening to Dr. V. Mohan, who is the convener of Sri Sathya Sai's Trust, Tamil Nadu Sai organization, and he had similar impressions to share, because he also is an office bearer who had opportunities to go to Bhagwan to get guidance about the functioning and administration of the organization, at the same time who also relied on this cosmic Sai. Because not every time you got this chance to interact with Bhagwan physically. Let's listen to what he said about how he connects to Swami now. Sai Ram, sir.
Sai Ram.
May I ask you, how do you now connect with Bhagwan?
As always, because even when he was there in his physical form, it was not everything that we wanted we connected to Bhagwan. Of course, being the convener of the Sathya Sai Trust, there could be official works which we come to him. Very rarely we would give a letter or something to Swami. But most of the time, the connection had been now as it was earlier. Swami comes in dreams. Swami guides us in many ways. He gives us signs if we want something. So if you pray to him for something, he immediately shows it in some form, which will be known only to the person who has asked. That means it's very special for the person who has asked for it. Of course, when you pray and in deep meditation, sometimes these answers come. Sometimes they come when you open Satya Sai Speaks and you read that particular line, that would have been the thought that you had the previous day and you'll read it the next day. So Swami answers it in that form. Very rarely I use the technique of using chits. If it's a decision, yes, no, for some particular event or a particular incident, particular thing that you want to take a decision, and it's like a road dividing into two and you're there and you really don't know whether to take this one or that one. So you need a specific answer, yes, no. And so that kind of a thing, I put the chit, pray to Bhagavan, put the chit in front of him and then take only one, not keep taking, cheating and taking till you get the right answer. But tell Swami, I'm putting equal number of chits, I'll take only one, Swami, and guide me. And every time he has guided in the right way. So I think different people connect in different ways. But ultimately, it's a holy communion. It is prayer. So when you pray to him and you pray, you open your heart out and you pray to Bhagavan, I have never, ever had an occasion when Swami has not responded and told me what to do or what not to do or guided me or blessed me. And I'm sure this is not something unique to me because there's nothing very unique about me as a person. But I think to everyone, this is very, very important. What happens is sometimes people become very ritualistic. They start doing their mantras or their puja, but it becomes very ritualistic. And they're not connecting deep enough. Swami says, although my heart is like butter, I still need some warmth to melt it. So all he expects is that we sit in silent meditation, pray to him and connect to him, and he is very much there right now as he was there in his physical form. So I find absolutely no difficulty at all in connecting to Bhagavan when we need it. At home, we also have a paduga. And Swami, when we did the paduga puja here, when he put the rakshada on that and he blessed it, Swami said that any time you really want, after my physical form is over, you touch the paduga and then you pray to me and you are directly connecting to me. So in my prayer, I always do that. We do the paduga puja and then I connect to him. So there are different methods in which we do, but ultimately it's a holy communion, a silent prayer, and that will definitely reach Swami.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So that is Dr. V. Mohan, the convener of Sri Satya Sai Trust. Finally, let me play for you what Dr. Narendranath Reddy, who is the chairman of the International Sai Organization and the chairman of the Prashanti Council, which oversees all the activities of Satya Sai organizations worldwide, what he had to say about connecting to Bhagavan.
With love and gratitude, I offer myself at the divine lotus feet of our loving Lord Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Loving Sai Ram to everyone, I had the good fortune to enjoy the divine darshan, sparshan and sambhashan of Swami for many decades. It was a blissful experience to see his beautiful form in close quarters, listen to his divine nectarine words, and experience his enthralling divine leelas. So it was an easy to be connected to Swami at that time. But it was a shock and I felt great pain and void when he left his physical form on 24th April 2011. Soon after, by his boundless grace, he revealed to me that still I can continue to live in his presence and be connected to him if I have faith and love. Swami said, when a letter is mailed, it will be received only when the envelope has the address and the stamp. Faith and love are the stamp and address to communicate to its God. Faith is the life breath for a spiritual seeker. First, to have faith in the divinity of Swami and remember his divine proclamation that he is the divine entity in which all names and forms attributed by man to God are manifest. Come what may, I resolve to dedicate this life to Swami and hold on to Him till my last breath. Secondly, to have faith in His divine protection. I experienced many instances of His protection in my personal life and that of my friends and family. I always remember His promise, "Why fear when I am here?" This gives a state of abhaya, that is fearlessness. This Sai avatar gave the unique benediction to mankind with His double abhaya hasta, with the both hands raised, assuring us both spiritual and material welfare. Thirdly, to have faith in His divine guidance and wisdom. Bhagavan is the source of all wisdom, and He has guided Vedic scholars, scientists, agnostics, architects, physicians, philosophers, and musicians. When I rely on His guidance in all aspects of my daily life, every act becomes His worship. Then I have joy and peace, knowing fully well that whatever happens, happens is by His will and it is for my good. And this gives the realization that everything is the sign of His grace. Fourthly, faith in His divine teachings. His teachings are the quintessence of all scriptures. His every word is a mantra, every conversation is a Gita, and every discourse is a Veda. He addresses us in His divine discourses as Divatma Swarupulara, Prema Swarupulara, embodiments of divine Atma and embodiments of divine love. The goal is to realize this truth, and this is done through love, which is the undercurrent of all human values. Swami says, one can see moon only through moonlight and not by a candle or a lamp. Similarly, God who is love can be experienced only through love. Swami's life, His message, His ideals and humanitarian works can all be enshrined in one word, love. Swami has shown me the ways how to live in love, how to nurture love, and how to share this love with all. Firstly, the easiest and best practice is repetition of His sweet divine name, which is the panacea for all ills. That is the essence of all Vedas, and this helps us to reach the goal very easily. Secondly, to recollect, ruminate, and relive the divine experiences I had and also the divine leelas I have witnessed. This transports me right away into His divine presence. Thirdly, to live in the company of devotees who love God, serve God, and are dedicated to God. This ignites and enriches the love for God. All the great masters emphasize the value of the holy company to be in tune with God. Finally, the best way to nurture love for God is to do His work. Swami in the early days said that wherever His devotees sing His glory, He is manifest. But in later years, Swami said that He is present wherever His work is done. It is a great blessing and good fortune to serve in the divine mission. I myself and many devotees around the world have experienced His divine presence while doing His work. We are connected to Bhagavan when we have faith in His divinity, faith in His divine protection, faith in His divine guidance, and faith in His divine teachings, and have pure love for Him, which can be nurtured through repetition of His name, remembrance of His leelas, company of the devotees, and most importantly, serving Him and His creation. I pray to Bhagavan to bless all of us with absolute, steady, and unconditional faith and pure, selfless divine love, so that we are always connected to Him and live in His divine presence at all times and in all places. Jai Sai Ram.
So that is Dr. Narendranath Reddy, the chairman of the Prashanti Council, which oversees the activities of Satya Sai organizations world over, sharing
how faith in His guidance, faith in His teachings, and faith in His divinity is what will enable us to connect to Swami. And chanting His name is one of those easiest ways of sustaining this connection. Spending time in the company of devotees, reading Sai literature, these are the ways which will help us to strengthen this hotline with Bhagwan. Everybody's reflections on this question of how do I connect to Swami is so profound. It comes from a space of deep personal experience, and that is why each one of them is inspiring and ennobling. In the next episode of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, I would like to continue this, and I will share with you many such responses that we have received world over, where people have expressed how they are now connecting to Bhagwan. Each one is different, each one is inspiring, and each one is worth listening to, because that will help us to strengthen this beautiful relationship that we have with our Bhagwan. Swami Vivekananda, one of the foremost disciples of Sri Ramakrishna Paramahansa, once said, "If I can show the world one glimpse of my master through my life, I shall not have lived in vain." If I can show the world one glimpse of my master through my life, I shall not have lived in vain. For all of us who have been blessed to be contemporaries and pupils of this never before, never, ever spectacular avatar, maybe this is something to think about, how I can make my life so that when people see me, they feel the presence of the divine. Let us live in that love. Let us live in that presence. Let us feel that presence, and let us share that beautiful love story that we have with our Lord. Thank you so much for being with us on this beautiful day of Bhagwan's reminiscence, the Aradhana day, the day of prayer, of reflection on the path to realization. Offering pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet and expressing my deep sense of gratitude for having given us this chance of being of some use to Him in the form of serving in Radio Sai. On behalf of all of us, I thank each one of you for being with us all through the day. I'm Team Radio Sai as Bishu. If you have any queries or suggestions, please feel free. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. Thank you so much. As I sign off, you will continue to listen to a drama entitled The Heaven of Freedom, presented by the students of Sri Sathya Sai School, Surat, Gujarat, on Gujarati New Year Day, which was on 14 November 2012. You will listen to this program now. Enjoy listening. Let us immerse ourselves in Sai. Let every cell of our being reverberate with the love of Sai. Thank you so much, and Sai Ram.